Part 2. Nightfall. Chapter 13. The 36th Day. Dargravian, the 5th day. Meritorious defense of the Torshav refueling complex. Gene seed recovered. Pharos, the 7th day. Discovered in the Kurile Junction, surrounded by no fewer than 12 of the slain enemy. Gene seed recovered. Thaliar, the 10th day. Lost in the petrochemical explosions at White Star Point. Gene seed unfound, unrecovered. Corith, the 10th day. Lost in the petrochemical explosions at White Star Point. Gene seed unfound, unrecovered. Torraven, the 10th day. Lost in the petrochemical explosions at White Star Point. Gene seed unfound, unrecovered. Amardis, the 11th day. Unable to survive 83% body tissue immolation suffered at White Star Point. Granted the Emperor's peace. Gene seed ruined, unrecovered. Halric, the 13th day. Eyewitness reports from Armageddon 101st Steel Legion relate intense personal courage and heroism in the face of overwhelming odds. Awarded posthumous crusade mark of valiant conduct for rallying guard forces at the fall of Cargo Bridge 30. Gene seed recovered. Angrad, the 18th day. Single-handedly destroyed 5 enemy tanks at the breach of the Amalas Concourse, brought down by alien treachery and lost beneath enemy tank treads. Gene seed ruined, unrecovered. Vorinthar, the 18th day. Fought at the breach of the Amalas Concourse. Gene seed recovered. Irias, the 18th day. Fought at the breach of the Amalas Concourse. Gene seed recovered. Marcosian, the 18th day. Fought at the breach of the Amalas Concourse. Notably slew an enemy warlord in single combat atop the alien's command tank. Awarded posthumous crusade mark of unbroken courage. Body was incinerated by the enemy in wrathful response. Gene seed ruined, unrecovered. It was always going to happen. That did not make the reality any easier to bear, or the defeat any less bitter. But preparations were in place. When it happened, the Imperials were ready. It happened first on the 18th day at the Amalas Concourse, Junction Omega 9B34. That was its assigned identifier according to the Imperial hololithic displays. Colonel Saren was watching through heavy, fatigue-dulled eyes as the flickering hollow images moved silently back from the location of their barricade. It was such a small thing, no more than a few marking runes blinking back a few centimeters, moving away from the point of the map marked Amalas Concourse, Junction Omega 9B34. Behind the flickering hollow runes was an illusory ramp, which in turn threaded into a much, much, much wider road. Saren watched the runes falling back along this ramp and tried to breathe in. It took 4 attempts, his breath catching in his throat on the first 3.
"This is Colonel Saren," he spoke into his hand vox. "All units in Omega Sector, Subsector 9, all units prepared to retreat. Cancel assigned fallback locations. Repeat, cancel withdrawal to assigned fallback locations. When the order comes, you will retreat. Retreat. Retreat to contingency positions."
He ignored the storm of demands for confirmation, letting his Vox officers respond on his behalf.
"We did well," he said to himself. "We did damn well to keep the bastards away for this long."
18 days, over half a month of siege warfare. He had every reason to colour his bitterness with that fierce core of pride. The minutes passed in unblinking slowness. An aide came to his side and quietly asked for his attention.
"Sir, your Baneblade stands ready."
"Thank you, Sergeant."
She saluted and moved away. Finally, Saren reached for his vox mic again.
All units in Omega Sector, Subsector 9. Retreat! 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 The enemy has reached Hell's Highway.
Malathir, the 19th day. Missing in action since the successful enemy siege of the Yangara installation. Gene seed, unfound, unrecovered. Cithran, the 20th day. Fell in personal combat with an enemy dreadnought at the Danab Junction Titan rearming site. Gene seed, recovered. Thalhaiden, the 21st day. Fell in personal combat with an enemy dreadnought at the Danab Junction Titan rearming site. Survival depended on extensive and immediate surgical augmentation. Granted the Emperor's peace. Gene seed, recovered. Darmir, the 22nd day. Body discovered with massacred elements of the 68th Steel Legion at the MU-15 barricades. Gene seed, recovered. Icarion, the 22nd day. Body discovered with massacred elements of the 68th Steel Legion at the MU-19 barricades. Gene seed, recovered. Demes, the 30th day. Missing in action since the fall of the Prospering Haven Habitation Sector. Significant civilian casualties recorded. Gene seed, unfound, unrecovered. Gorthis, the 33rd day. Led a counterattack after the defenses at Bastion 4 were overrun. Also lost in the engagement were two Warlord-class Titans of the Legio Invigilata. Gene seed, recovered. Sulagon, the 33rd day. Missing in action since the failed defense of Bastion 4. Last sighting reported his honorable conduct in the face of overwhelming enemy numbers. Gene seed, unfound, unrecovered. Naclides, the 33rd day. Orchestrated and inspired the last stand defense at Bastion 4, seeking to hold the militia fortress until reinforcements could arrive. Gene seed, recovered. Caleb, the 33rd day. Part of the counterattack at Bastion 4. Body suffered extreme mutilation and dismemberment at the hands of the enemy. Gene seed, ruined, unrecovered. Thorias, the 33rd day. Pilot of the Thunderhawk avenged. Vehicle destroyed by Gargant anti-air fire on routine patrol. Gene seed, unfound, unrecovered. Avandar, the 33rd day. Co-pilot of the Thunderhawk avenged. Vehicle destroyed by Gargant anti-air fire on routine patrol. Gene seed, unfound, unrecovered. Vanrick, the 35th day. Lost in an action to mine the road before an enemy armor division. Gene seed, recovered.
Nerevar lowers his arm. His attention drifting from his Narthesium bracer gauntlet. Kador lies on the cracked road, the old warrior's armor broken and split. Brother, I tell Nero, now is not the time to grieve.
Yes, Reclusiac,
he says, though I know he does not hear me. Not really. With mechanical dullness, his movements are leaden as he lowers his hand to Kador's chest. Around us, the shattered highway is deserted but for the bodies of our latest hunt. The war here is a distant thing, and though the sound of battle in other sectors reaches our ears, this far behind enemy lines, all is quiet and still. The skies are calm and untroubled, unbroken by wrathful turrets. The sharp crack of the reductor doing its work splits the silence, first once, then again. The meaty, wet sound of flesh being pulled open follows. Nero lifts his arm, the surgical gauntlet's armor-piercing flesh drills buzzing, spraying dark, rich Astartes blood against his armor. In his hand, with great care, he holds the glistening, purplish organs that had rested within Kador's chest and throat. They drip and quiver, as if still trying to feed their host with strength. Nero slides them into a cylinder of preserving fluids, which is in turn retracted into his gauntlet's protective housing.
I have seen him perform this ritual too many times in the past month.
It is done,
he says, dead-voiced, rising to his feet. He ignores me as I approach the corpse, occupying himself with entering information on his Narthesian screen. Kador, the 36th day. Ambush along enemy-controlled portions of Hell's Highway. Gene seed recovered. The 36th day. 36 days of grueling siege. 36 days of retreat, of falling back, of holding positions for as long as we are able until inevitably overwhelmed by the insane, impossible numbers arrayed against us. The entire city smells of blood. The coppery, stinging scent of human life, and the sickening fungal reek of the foulness purged from orcish veins. Beneath the blood scent is the stench of burning wood, melted metal, and blasted stone. A city's death in smells. At the last gathering of commanders in the shadow of Colonel Saren's Baneblade, the Grey Warrior, it was estimated that the foe controlled 46% of the city. That was four nights ago. Almost half of Hell's Reach gone, lost to smoke and flame in bitter, galling defeat. I am told we lack the force to take anything back. Reinforcements are not coming from the other hives, and the majority of the guard and militia that still fight are exhausted remnants of the regiments, forever falling back time and again, road by road. Hold a junction for a few nights, then withdraw to the next position when it finally falls. Truly, we are fated to die in the most uninspired crusade ever to blight the name of the Black Templars. Reclusiac, the vox calls me. Not now. I kneel by Kador's defiled body, seeing the holes in his armor and flesh, some from alien gunfire, two from the ritual surgery of Nerovar's flesh-boring tools. Reclusiac, the voice comes again. The rune blinking at the edge of my retinal display signifies it as from the Grey Warrior. I suspect I am to be begged, again, to fall back to Imperial lines and help in the defense of some meaningless roadway junction. I am administering the rites of the fallen to a slain knight. Now is not the time, Colonel. At first, the Colonel had replied to such words with the worthless, polite insistence that he was sorry for my loss. Saren no longer says such things. The tens of thousands of lives lost in the last 4 weeks have utterly numbed him to such personal sentiment. That, too, is almost admirable. I see the strength in the way he has changed. Reclusiac! Saren's voice betrays how ruined by exhaustion he is. Were I in the room with him, I know I would feel the weariness in his bones like an aura around where he stands. When you return from your scouting run, your presence is required in the Forthright Five district. Forthright Sector, the southernmost docks. Why? We are receiving anomalous reports from the Valdez oil platforms. The coastal Auspex readers are suffering from offshore storms, but there are no storms off the coast. We suspect something is happening at sea. We will be there in an hour, I tell him. What anomalies are we speaking of? If I could give you specifics, Reclusiac, I would. The Auspex readers look to be suffering some kind of directed interference. We believe they're being jammed. 1 hour, Colonel. Then, mount up, I say to my brothers. It is not a short ride down the Hell's Highway, especially when it crawls with the enemy. Scouting teams are more often mounted on motorcycles now. The risk of Thunderhawks being shot down in enemy territory is too great.
It is strange,
Nero says, cradling Kador's helm in his hands, as if the old warrior merely slept.
I do not wish to leave him.
That is not Kador. I rise from where I have been kneeling next to the body, anointing the tabard with sacred oils before tearing it from the warplate. In better times, the Tabard would be enshrined on the Eternal Crusader. In this time, here and now, I rip it from my brother's body and tie it around my bracer, carrying it with me as a token to honor him. Cador is gone. You are leaving nothing behind.
You are heartless, brother,
Nero tells me. Standing here, in this annihilated city, with the bodies of so many dead aliens around us, I almost burst out laughing.
But even for you,
Nero continues,
even for one who wears the black, that is a cold thing to say.
I loved him, as one can love any warrior that fights by your side for 200 years, boy. The bonds that form from decade upon decade of shared allegiance and united war are not to be ignored. I will miss Cador for the few days that remain to me, before this war kills me as well. But no, I do not grieve. There is nothing to grieve over when a life has been led in service to the throne. The apothecary hangs his head, in shame, in thought.
I see,
he says, apropos of nothing.
We will speak of this again, Nero. Now mount up, brothers. We ride south.
Half of the city was a wasteland, one way or the other. Some of it burned, some of it was silent in death now that the Xenos had moved onto other sectors, and some of it was simply abandoned. Habitation towers stood under Armageddon's yellow sky, lifeless and deserted. Manufactories no longer churned out weapons of war or breathed smoke into the heavens. Packs of orcs, the jackal-like stragglers who had fallen behind the main advance, looted through the empty sectors of the city. While there was little of calculated malice in the beasts' minds, what few human civilian survivors remained were slain without mercy when they were found. 5 armored bikes growled their way down Hell's Highway. Their sloped armor plating was as black as the war plate worn by each rider. Their engines emitted healthy, throaty roars that told of a thirst for promethium fuel. The bolt guns mounted on the motorcycles were linked to belt-feeding ammunition boxes contained within the vehicle's main bulks. Priamus throttled back, falling into formation alongside Nerovar. Neither warrior looked at the other as they rode, weaving through a shattered convoy of motionless, burned-out tank hulls spread across the dark rockcrete of the highway.
His death,
the swordsman began, his vox voice crackling from the distortion of the engines.
Does it trouble you?
I do not wish to speak of this, Priamus. Priamus banked around the charred skeleton of what had once been a Chimera trooper carrier. His sword, chained to his back, rattled against his armor with the bike's vibrations.
He did not die well.
I said I have no desire to speak of this, brother. Leave me be.
Well, I only say this because if I were as close to him as you were, it would have grieved me also. He died badly. An ugly, ugly death.
He killed several before he fell.
He did, the swordsman allowed. But his death wound was in the back. That would shame me beyond measure.
Priamus. Nerovar's voice was ice cold and heavy with both emotion and threat. Leave me alone.
You are impossible, Nero.
Priamus revved his engine and accelerated away.
I try to sympathize with you. I try to connect, and you rebuke me. I will remember this, brother.
Nerovar said nothing. He just watched the road. The Jahannam platform. 619 workers stationed on an offshore industrial base. Its skyline was a mess of cranes and storage silos. Beneath it, only the deep of the ocean and the richness of the crude oil that could be refined into promethium. A new shadow entered the depths. Like a black wave under the water's surface, it drifted closer to the support struts that held the gigantic platform above the water. Lesser shadows, fish-like and sharp, spilled ahead of the main darkness like rainfall falling from a storm cloud. The platform shuddered at first, as if shivering in the chill winds that always howled this far from shore.
And then, with majestic slowness, it began to fall. A town-sized, multi-layered platform fell into the ocean, crashing down into the water. The ships around it began one by one to explode. Each one, once breached, sank alongside the Jahannam platform. 619 workers and 1,021 crew members from the ships died in the freezing waters over the course of the following 3 hours. The few men and women that managed to reach Voxcasters shouted into their machines, little realizing their voices were carrying no further. The platform was eventually submerged, except for a fleet of floating detritus. The ocean no longer teemed with potential profit, but the scrap metal of destroyed enterprise. Hellsreach heard nothing of this. The Sheol platform. In a central spire, nestled between tall, stacked container silos, technical officer Neira Rasinov cast an annoyed look at her green screen and the sudden fuzzy wash of distortion it was displaying for her.
"You're joking," she said to the screen.
It replied with white noise. She thumped the thick glass with the bottom of her fist. It replied with slightly angrier white noise. Technical officer Neira Rasinov decided not to try that again.
"My screen's just died,"
she called out to the rest of the office. Looking over her shoulder, she saw that the rest of the office, which usually consisted of an overweight ex-crane driver called Gruli, who monitored the communication system, had gone for a mug of caffeine. She looked back at her console. Warning lights were flickering cheerily around the confused screen. One moment, the green wash showed a chaotic burst of incoming presences on the sonar, hundreds of them. The next, it showed a clear ocean. And the next, nothing but distortion again. The room shuddered. The entire platform shuddered, as if in the grip of an earthquake. Neira swallowed, watching the screen again. The presences under the water, hundreds of them, were back once again. She dived across the shaking room, hammering the Vox station's transmit button with the heel of her hand. She managed to say,
"Hellsreach! Hellsreach, come in!"
before the world dropped out from under her, and the second of the Valdez oil platforms was brought down, with its steel bones burning, bending and screaming into the icy sea. The Lucifus platform. The largest of the three offshore installations was manned by a permanent work crew population twice the size of those at Jahannam and Sheol. While they were powerless to prevent their own destruction, they at least saw it coming. Across the platform, sonar Auspex readers were suddenly captured by the storm of distortion that had preceded the deaths of Sheol and Jahannam. Here, a fully staffed control office reacted quicker, with a low-ranking tech acolyte managing to restore a semblance of clarity to the screens. Technical officer Marvek Kolovas was on the Vox network immediately, his gravelly voice carrying directly to the mainland.
"Hellsreach, this is Lucifus. Massive, repeat, massive incoming enemy fleet. At least 300 submersibles. We can't raise Sheol or Jahannam. Neither platform is responding. Hellsreach! Hellsreach, come in!"
Kolovas blinked at the receiver in his hand.
"Hellsreach!"
he said again.
"This is Dock Officer Nylian. You're under attack."
"Throne, are you deaf, you stupid bastard? There's a fleet of enemy submersibles launching all kinds of hell at our support gantries. We need rescue craft immediately. Airborne rescue craft. Lucifer's platform is going down. Hellsreach! Hellsreach! Do you hear me?"
A new voice broke over the Vox channel.
"This is Dockmaster Thomas McHernes. Hellsreach hears and acknowledges."
Kolovas finally let out the breath he'd been holding. Around him, the world shook as it began to end.
"Good luck, Lucifer's,"
the Dockmaster's voice finished, a moment before the link went dead.
"This is the situation," Colonel Saren began. The Fourth Right Sector Dockmaster's office was, putting it politely, a pit.
McHernes was not a tidy man at the best of times, and a recent divorce wasn't helping his state of cleanliness. The sizable room was a hovel of old caffeine mugs that were growing furry mold masses in their depths, and unfiled stacks of papers were scattered everywhere. Here and there were some of McHernes's cast-off clothing from the nights he'd slept in his office, rather than go back to his depressing bachelor hab. And before that, back to the woman he'd taken to calling the cheating bitch. The cheating bitch was a memory now, and not a pleasant one. He found himself worrying against his will. Had she already died in the war? He wasn't sure his bitterness stretched quite far enough to wish something like that. His dawdling thoughts were dragged back in line by the arrival of the Reclusiarch. In battered black warplate, the knight stalked into the room, sending menials and guard officers scurrying aside.
"I was summoned!"
The words blasted rough from his helm's vox speakers.
"Reclusiarch!"
Saren nodded. The colonel's bone tiredness bled from him in a slow drip. In his weary majesty, he moved like he was underwater. The officers gathered around the room's messy table, poring over a crinkled paper map of the city and the surrounding coast. Room was made at the table as Grimaldus approached.
"Speak to me," he said.
"This is the situation," Colonel Saren began again. "Exactly 54 minutes ago, we received a distress call from the Lucifer's platform. They reported they were under attack by an overwhelming submersible fleet, numbering at least 300 enemy vessels." The gathered officers and dock leaders variously swore, made notes on the map, or looked to Saren to provide an answer to this latest development.
"How long until they reach..."
"Must move the reserve garrisons. Storm trooper battalions to assemble."
Syria Tyro stood alongside the colonel.
"This is what the bastards were doing in the southern deadlands. It's why they touched down there. They were taking their landing ships to pieces and building this fleet."
"It's worse than that." Saren gestured to the portable hololithic table with the control wand, zooming out from the city and showing a much wider spread of the southern coast of the Armageddon Secundus landmass.
"Tempestus Hive,"
several officers muttered. Enemy runes flickered as they drew nearer to the other coastal hive, almost as many as those bearing down on Hell's Reach.
"They're dead,"
Tyro said.
"Tempestus will fall no matter what we do. A hive half our size and with half our defences."
"We're all dead,"
a voice spoke out.
"What did you say?"
Commissar Falkoff sneered.
"We have done all that can be done."
The protests came from an overweight lieutenant in the uniform of the conscripted militia forces. He was calm, sanguine even, speaking with what he hoped was measured wisdom.
"Throne. 300 enemy vessels. My men are stationed at the docks, and we know what we can do there. But the defences are as thin as... Damn it, there are no defences there. We must evacuate the city, surely. We've done all we can."
Commissar Falkoff's dark storm coat swished as he reached for his sidearm. He never got the chance to execute the lieutenant for cowardice. A snarling, immense blur of blackness sliced across the room. With a crash, the lieutenant was slammed back against the wall, held a meter off the ground, short legs kicking as the Reclusiarch gripped his throat in one hand.
36 days, you wretched worm.
36 days of defiance and thousands upon thousands of heroes lie dead.
You dare speak of retreat when the day finally comes for you to spill the enemy's blood."
The lieutenant gagged as he was strangled. Colonel Saren, Syria Tyro, and the other officers watched in silence. No one turned away. He fought for breath that wouldn't come as he stared into the silver replica of the God Emperor's death mask. Grimaldus leaned closer, his sculled face leering, blocking out all other sight.
"Where would you run, coward?
Where would you hide that the Emperor would not see your shame and spit on your soul when your worthless life is finally at an end?"
But please.
"Do not shame yourself further by begging for a life you do not deserve."
Grimaldus tensed his hand, his fingers snapping closed with wet snaps. In his grip, the lieutenant went into spasms, then thumped to the floor as the knight released his grip. The Reclusiarch strode back to the table, ignoring the fallen body. It took several seconds for conversation to resume. When it did, Falkov saluted the Reclusiarch. Grimaldus ignored it. McHernus tried to make sense of the lines being drawn across the map showing troop disposition, but it might as well have been in another language to him. He cleared his throat and said above the din,
"Colonel!"
"Dockmaster, what does this mean? In the simplest terms, please. All of these lines and numbers mean nothing to me."
It was Grimaldus who answered. The knight spoke low, staring down at the map with his helm's unblinking scarlet eyes.
"Today is the 36th day of the siege," the Templar said. "And unless we defend the docks against the tens of thousands of enemy that will arrive in under 2 hours, we will lose the city by nightfall."
Syria Tyro nodded as she stared at the map.
"We need to evacuate the dock workers in the most efficient manner possible, allowing for the arrival of troops."
"No,"
McHernus said, though no one was listening.
"These avenues," Colonel Saren pointed out, "are already clogged by inbound-outbound supply traffic. We will struggle to get all of the dock menials, no offence, Dockmaster, out in time, let alone get troops in."
"No,"
McHernus said again, louder this time. Still no one paid him any attention. One of the Steel Legion majors present, a stormtrooper set apart by his dark uniform and shoulder insignia, traced a finger along a central spine road leading from Hell's Highway.
"Evacuate the drones down the other path and leave the highway route clear. That'll be enough to fill the central docks with trained bodies."
"Well, that still leaves almost two-thirds of the dock districts,"
Saren frowned,
"with no defence except the garrisoned militia. And the militia will suffer from the fleeing dock menials being in their way."
"Hello,"
said McHernus.
"We can reroute the traffic through to these secondary veins,"
Tyro pointed out.
"Troops would trickle in,"
Saren nodded.
"That might not be enough, but it may be the best we can ask for in the situation."
A sound emerged, machine-like and harsh, like the engine of a Chimera troop transport choking on the wrong fuel. One by one, heads turned to Grimaldus. The sound was emitted from his helm's vocalizers. He was chuckling.
"I believe," said the knight, "the Dockmaster has something to say."
All heads turned to McHernus.
"Arm us,"
he said. Colonel Saren closed his eyes. The others watched the Dockmaster, unsure if they had heard correctly. McHernus continued as the silence spread out.
"There are over 39,000 of us on those docks, and that's just the workers, not including the militia. If you need time, arm us. We'll give you the time."
The stormtrooper major snorted.
"You'll be dead in an hour, all of you."
"Maybe,"
said McHernus.
"But we were never going to win this war, were we?"
The major wasn't done, and his voice had less of a sneer now.
"Brave, but insane. If we allow the enemy to butcher the dock worker forces, the city won't be able to function for decades after this war. We're fighting to preserve our way of life, not just survive."
"Let us focus."
Saren opened his eyes.
"On surviving first. The fact remains that the majority of the Steel Legion cannot be moved. They are holding the city, and pulling them back from their positions will see the city fall as surely as if we leave the docks undefended. Invigilata and the militia can't hold everything."
"There's little choice,"
said Tyro.
"The dock workers will die unsupported."
"Arm them first," Grimaldus said,
his vox voice heavy with finality.
"Then argue how long they have left to live."
"Very well. Our course is clear."
Colonel Saren cleared his throat.
"Dockmaster, I thank you.
We'll fight we'll fight damn hard, Colonel. Just don't take too long getting the troops to back us up."
"We have immense stockpiles of materiel in the dock districts."
The Colonel nodded to Syria Tyro.
"You heard the Reclusiarch. Arm them."
She saluted with a grim smile and left the table.
"We can hold," Saren told everyone that remained. "After all we have done, I refuse to believe this will be the treacherous blow that breaks our back.
We can hold. Major Krivas, the movement of stormtrooper squads to the docks is already underway, but I need you to take personal command of that process immediately. Grav shoot them in if you have to. Drop them from the Valkyries that remain. Every rifle counts.
The Major saluted and moved out of the office with all the grace and speed his bulky carapace armor allowed.
The civilians,
Tyro murmured, staring at the hololithic. Almost all of the city's reinforced shelters were situated and sealed within and beneath the docks district. 60% of the Hive's population, crowded in civilian shelter bunkers, now no longer away from the front lines.
We can't have that many people left in the direct line of fire.
No. We can't release them onto the streets.
Saren shook his head.
There is nowhere for them to run, and the panic would choke the byways, preventing the Steel Legion ever reaching the docks. They are as safe as they can be in their shelters.
The beasts will tear down those shelters,
Tyro argued.
Yes, they will. Nothing can be done now.
Saren would not be deterred.
There will be no evacuation. We can't arm them in time, and we can't protect them if they leave the shelters. They will do nothing but die in the streets and clog the veins of reinforcements.
Tyro didn't raise another objection. She knew he was right. Saren continued.
I need insurgency walkers and light armor battalions riding in from the tertiary arterial roads here, 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 and here. Sentinels, my friends. Hellhounds and sentinels. Everything we can muster.
More officers left the table.
Reclusiak!
Colonel.
You know what I am going to ask of you. There is only one way we will survive this assault long enough to flood the docks with tried and tested troops. I cannot order you, but I would ask it nevertheless.
There is no need to ask. My knights will deploy from our remaining gunships. We will stand with the civilians. We will hold the docks.
My thanks, Reclusiak. Now we are as ready as it is possible to be, given the nature of this unwelcome surprise. We are, however, placing a great deal of pressure on Invigilata and the bulk of the Imperial Guard. The city will bleed while we divert our elite infantry to the docks, and this fight, it'll take days at best.
Let Invigilata hold the city, Grimaldus said,
gesturing to the map with a black gauntlet.
Let the Steel Legion stand with them. Focus on what matters in the here and now.
No grand speech. I'm almost disappointed.
No speech.
The Templar was already stalking from the room.
Not for you. You won't be dying this day. I save my words for those who will.